Welcome to the PrivCap podcast.
And now, PrivCap's Zoe Hughes.
I'm joined here today by Alfonso Monk, CIO Americas of PGIM Real Estate, and Ken Mulcasey, Senior Managing Director of GID International. Thank you both for joining me here today.
Nice to be here.
Thank you.
Now, when we're looking and talking about commercial real estate opportunities in Latin America, I know one of the major failings we make as international investors, managers, and even the media is really addressing this landscape through the eyes of foreigners. You know, we really look at investor appetite, you know, as foreign investors, yet we seem to discount kind of the domestic appetite and domestic, institutional investors there. And I do argue that I think they're actually a real force to be reckoned with and really a growing force within the region. Are sleeping giants actually about to be woken up?
I believe they are. And there's a concurrent activity going on in among, you know, four or five major Latin markets. In places like Colombia, Peru, Chile, and Mexico's had a liberal pension fund investment environment for a number of years. But what's going on now is that they're easing regulations and restrictions. So you have more money that could be coming into real estate. There's more money that could be going cross-border, and not just in the region, but also internationally. So pension funds are becoming alive to the returns of the alternatives class in general, but to real estate in particular and to infrastructure as well. There's a very large insurance company based, conglomerate called Grupo Sura. They're based in Medellin in Colombia, active in six or seven countries in South America that, you know, they have $120 billion under management. But yet few people outside of Latin America have really heard of them, but they provide a variety of products to their investors. They're ramping up for more and more real estate infrastructure and alternative investments.
Alfonso, is this a game changer for the region in terms of this growth of the domestic investors, you know, and their appetite for real estate?
I think it's one of the most important game changers. I agree with Ken. This is really an important transformational aspect of not only the Latin American economies, but the impact is going to have in real estate, right? These pension funds, in essence, come because people are being formally employed and are contributing part of their salary to a pension. This is new in Latin America. And if you look at the importance of this, it's going to be huge, right? And it's not only providing more capital, given that they are able to invest in alternatives, including real estate, is creating liquidity in the market, is creating growth in the real estate sector, and is making the sector more institutional. Just to give you an idea, in PGIM Real Estate, if you look at us 10 years ago, 100% of our capital in the region came from international investors, mainly US and some sovereign wealth funds. Today, over half of our capital is local. So we manage vehicles that over 50 or 55% of the capital is coming from the local pension funds.
And it's not just about kind of capital sources, but it's also, this is competition for you as well. In terms of, say, like Colombia, you know, there's a lot of local capital on the ground. Does this make kind of, you know, are they happy to accept lower returns? Does this become actually more added competition for you in terms of this growth of domestic investors?
What does change, which is going to impact more international investors, is the fact that these local pension funds, for the most part, have a lower risk premium associated to the country itself. So when an international investor looks at Mexico or Brazil, on top of the actual risk associated with the project, they put a risk premium to the country. These pension funds don't, because their capital is local, their currency is local.
Yeah, Alfonso's comment is a good one, because I think there's more transparency coming into the market because you have local players there. And again, they're investing local capital. I think where they get hung up is going across border, because look, if they were to come, it's one thing going from Colombia to Peru to Chile or Mexico. It's another thing going really cross-border into the U.S., where that reverse exchange rate doesn't quite work well for them. So I think it's probably going to be more intra-Latin America than external. I think that's a good trend, and I agree with this point. At some point locally, it could crowd out the foreign investors who come into these, because they don't necessarily want the yield premium. They don't have the currency FX risk. They don't necessarily read the Wall Street Journal. They understand the local scene a lot more, and they're indigenous investors, and they don't necessarily need to get over 20%. returns on a risk-adjusted basis. They can settle for lower mid-teens and have a great investment day.
But in essence, it's also that helps the exit, the liquidity.
Absolutely.
In the market, and which is fundamental.
Yes.
To you all doing investments there, you know.
Yeah.
Whether as a family.
Yes.
Office,
yes.
A pension. Yes. Fund, as a fund manager. So give me a sense as to kind of that liquidity, the growth of liquidity within Latin America regionally, but also perhaps as the FIBRAs as well.
You're raising a good point, and that's, we've been really talking about investment funds and direct investing through a fund into an asset, but the public market's also quite vibrant. There's 20 listed entities or 25 listed entities in Brazil. The FIBRA market in Mexico is vibrant, a handful in other countries. So I think over time, local market players will have listings, and so that becomes available. There's some index funds here in the States that invest in Latin America, publicly listed vehicles. So that's another alternative with easy liquidity and has been attracting other investors, institutional from this side, who want to play in the Latin American real estate game, but they don't want to necessarily, go long into a fund life, and they can come in and out as the market dictates.
Yeah, I think it's a second trend. You mentioned the emergence of local capital is one of the trends. What you're mentioning here is the capital markets trend, which has a component of local capital. It's been also very transformational. About half of the REIT market in Mexico, the FIBRAs, capital comes from local institutions, whether it's, the pension funds, insurance companies, or some high net worth. And then the other half comes international. I would say the REITs, they still need to go through a lot of maturity, whether it's from governance perspective, from size, needs to become bigger, more liquid, prove to the investors that it's a well-established business. Still has some time to go, but I think it's very promising. And I think that it will help create a bigger market in the real estate sector. And also, one of the things that people often oversee, even for the domestic capital, is allowing the small investor to have real estate investments. In the past, whether it's Mexican or international investors, they couldn't buy real estate because they couldn't buy an entire building. Now, with the emergence of the REITs, you can buy the shares of those companies which have the underlying assets are real estate, and it makes accessible to the retail sector. Retail sector is going to be very big as well going forward.
The U.S. REIT market is three times, more than that, times the scale of the FIBRA market, but our market, our economy is so much larger. So I'm not going to say the FIBRA market's going to be a $500 billion asset class, but it's conceivably going to be over $100 billion in short order. So as Alfonso's saying, as not just institutions, but the mom-pa retail investor comes into the market because they have pension plans that can invest in it as well. So I think it's a great future for both the retail and the institutional investor.